Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Down the middle of the field. He's got Cruz. 35, 30.
Logan intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
Welcome to Big Blue Kick Golf Live right here on Giants.com, 201-939-4513, hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. He's Paul Dottino. I am John Schmelk, and it is game day. Rare we get to do a Big Blue Kick Off Live on game day, so we're excited to be here. Obviously, we got the two helmets out. It is the Redskins. It is the New York Football Giants tonight at MetLife Stadium. As you can see, Paul's a little excited.
Let's flip the coin, John.
I tried to trank him before the show. It didn't take, as you might not be surprised by, but big game for the Giants, Paul. I hesitate to call it a must-win in Week 3, but it's as close as you can get. You know, teams that I think historically, I saw the stat the other day that start the season 0-3, only 10% or so, or maybe only 5% actually go on to make the postseason. It's a pretty low number. So based on how the division's gone, I wouldn't bury anything at 0-3, but it makes your life a lot more difficult the final 13 games of the year. So a very important game tonight. I think the players know it. I think the coaches know it. These guys are going to go out there, and they're going to give their A effort.
You know, John, I can't tell you what's going on inside the heads of a lot of these guys, but I would say if I were in that locker room right now, I'm glad the game is Thursday, because the longer that I stew in this and the longer that I think about, oh, my goodness, don't want to go 0-3, the more it would bug me, the more it would fester inside of me. So I'm actually, from my personal perspective, I'd be happy to get out there on this Thursday as opposed to waiting the extra 2 or 3 days. Get out there, try to get that win, get to 1-2, breathe a breath of fresh air and saying, okay, now the division race is something that we can deal with again, because the alternative is really, really not good. And the least that I would think about that, the better.
No question about it. And the word I've used this week, and I've used it in a positive way, I think there's a sense of desperation, which is a good thing. You want this team to be desperate for a win. And when I say desperation, I don't mean like, oh, we have to win. Oh, no, what's going to happen? It's desperation in that we've lost two games in the worst way possible. We don't want to walk into that locker room for a third straight week. And quite frankly, Paul, the second time against a division team, you can't start 0-2 in the division.
No.
That means you probably have to win your final four games in your division if you want to win the darn thing. So I feel like there is a sense of urgency here where these guys desperately want to win this game and not have to deal with another week of the questions in the locker room after the game. You know, they want to feel good about themselves. They have played well enough to win the first two games,
yeah,
at least for three quarters in each of those two games. The fourth quarter is a different question you could talk about another time, but they've done it. They just have to continue to do it for four quarters.
Eli's comment the other day, and I know it's only talk until the actions actually manifest themselves on the field, but I thought Eli's comment the other day was exactly right on, and it is, got to win the game, okay? It's not enough to just be in position. You know, taking a Parcells comment from many years ago, and the book was by Jerry Eisenberg, no medals for trying. Well, John, that's the position the Giants are in right now. No medals for trying. Got to win. And if desperation's the word you want to use, if that's what has to get these guys over the top, then desperation it better be, because it's time. It is time for this team to crack that W column.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And let's talk about some of the matchups tonight, because I think this game, Paul, to me, is going to be decided on both sides of the ball, regardless of who's on offense, by what happens at the line of scrimmage. Let's start when the Giants have the ball offensively. Ereck Flowers has been listed as doubtful. He re-aggravated that ankle injury in the game on Sunday. Right now, you know, guys doubtful. You know, you're looking at, you know, 1-10, maybe 15% chance that he's going to play tonight. And if he does, who knows how good he's going to be playing on a bum ankle, going up against speed rushers on the outside. So assuming he's not going to go, you'll have Justin Pugh move out to left tackle. You're going to have John Jerry sit in there at left guard. Your right side remains undisturbed with Weston Richburg at center. And you're going up against, quite frankly, one of the more talented front sevens in football. You look at the three down linemen for the Broncos, for the Redskins. It's former Bronco Terrence Knighton. You have Stephen Paya, who was a big free agent acquisition from the Bears last year. And then you have Jason Hatcher, who has given the Giants issues throughout his NFL career.
More as a tackle, though, than as a defensive end.
Correct, but the under tackle on the 4-3 is not that dissimilar than the 3-4 defensive end position.
Yeah.
They play in the similar spot near the guard. And then you have Ryan Kerrigan coming off the edge, who obviously has given the Giants some issues, too, over the course of his career. So this now reshuffled, once again, Giants offensive line is going to be challenged in this game, not just to protect Eli Manning, but to try to get this running game going.
You know, John, the things that came out of the locker room for me this week, because the Redskins still run the basic 3-4, but they got a lot of 4-3 looks, and they will go to a lot of four-man lines in their sub-package, too. It's about scheme. They have really done a great job scheming people in the first 2 weeks. And Weston Richburg, when I went right up to him, I said, look, you're the center, okay? You've got to be the one to make the line calls against whatever front they're showing you. And if they're changing fronts, that's on you. And he said to me, he goes, look, that's really the problem right here, is that schematically they are very complex and they're very good at disguising it. And it's one of the reasons why they're giving up only 29% third down conversions to opponents in 2 weeks. That is a very, very good number.
Well, it also helps that teams are in third and long because they haven't been able to run the ball on the Redskins. They've done a great job. But here's the trick now. If, you know, it's tough for the Giants to read them and to watch tape and predict what they're going to do. And the Redskins rely a lot upon themselves predicting what the offense is going to do and them scheming against opposing offenses. How does the short week then affect how this game's going to go? As we've seen, Paul, on Thursday night games, we've seen that short schedule swing games one way or the other in unpredictable fashions a lot over the last few years. You know, Giants or not, no matter who's playing, these Thursday night games can all be very, very odd depending on the week. So I wonder how that impact is going to affect the game tonight.
I'm going to go one further, John. I think the quality of play on Thursday night football games is usually very bad.
I don't think it's up to the Sunday standards. Absolutely not. I agree with you.
And because it's bad and it's ragged, you can almost throw any logic or any books out the window because the play is so substandard that anything can happen. And the game can get out of control in a hurry for either side just because the play is that sloppy. But here's what I will say. I don't think we've seen the gamut in two games as to what the Giants really want to do or what they can do. Reuben Randle has been very quiet to this point.
Offensively, you're talking about.
Yes.
Now. Okay.
Yes, because you asked me about the Redskins' defense.
Absolutely.
So they're looking at the Giants. Reuben Randle hasn't really had the curtain taken off of his season yet. Okay, it's been very, very quiet. Shane Vereen got more work last week than he did the first week, and I think the Giants were very pleased with what they saw.
How can you not be? I think it's becoming apparent that he might be the second biggest weapon in this Giants offensive attack, spare Odell Beckham Jr.
Yeah, at least until Cruz gets back.
Absolutely.
Likely against Buffalo, by the way. So I don't think there's any doubt that the Giants are going to have to get more out of Randle and more out of Vereen today than they've gotten in the first 2 weeks. And because they have been relatively quiet over that period of time, that could pose a little bit of a problem for the Redskins because the Giants, they haven't found enough ways to get those two guys the ball yet. Now, Randle himself told us, John, and you aired this as a clip on one of the Giants.com. If you guys go to the Daily Reports, Randle himself said he's thinking he's going to be playing some slot in this game. He flat out said it.
And remember, we did see him do that at times during the in practice in camp this year. First time we ever seen him do it.
A little bit.
It was just a few times in 1 week we saw him do it. In fact, you know what? I don't even think it was in training camp. Wasn't that back in OTAs?
I was going to say it was back in the spring.
I think it was back in the spring. Now, yeah, I think it was.
And the interesting part about that is Randall's really never done that in his career.
Correct.
And he was talking about how that may be something that will really open things up for him because he thinks it's actually easier to work in there. There's more space, more room to run your routes. And here's the interesting part. I want to look at the Redskins depth chart. This is very interesting now because it's the first time this season in three games they've had all three of their corners available. That would be Hall, Culliver, and
Breland.
Breland. Where is he? Where is he?
Right,
hey, Breland's here. Okay? Now, last year, Beckham torched the Redskins in the only game he played them. Remember, John? All right, he didn't play him in the first game because he was hurt.
Well, the Redskins decided to play the man-on-man straight up. Oops.
With Breland.
Yeah.
bad move.
And by the way, Breland's a rookie. I'm not trying to take shots at Breshad Breland. He can become a pretty good player. But to ask him to guard Odell Beckham in a rookie year, come on.
Now, Odell, what'd he do? 11 catches, 140 yards, three touchdowns?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. And drew four penalties.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the kind of game that could run a guy out of the league. So Breland's bounced back, and he's in his second season now. But my understanding is that he's going to wind up going in the slot, and the Redskins are going to use Culliver on him, the free agent from the San Francisco 49ers. Now, Culliver's a six-foot guy, good size, good athleticism, good ball skills. But obviously the Niners didn't think enough of him to hold him as a free agent, and the Redskins wound up signing him away. I suspect he draws the starting assignment on Beckham. That's my guess right now.
But so, again, I don't think this version of the Redskins defense will just put him out there on an island either and say, you take him.
Perry Fuell's not going to do that.
No,
by the way, did we mention Perry?
Not.
Who's the
defensive
secondary
coach? Yes, and I'm sure Jay Gruden's had a long conversation, not only about Giants defensive personnel, but about the Giants offense going
Everybody.
Up against it in practice.
Everybody.
Absolutely.
Okay. So, I'm sure Perry said, you don't want a one-on-one Odell Beckham. Not a good idea.
No, not
okay?
a good idea.
So here's the thing, though. What does that tell you? It tells you an aging Hall, D'Angelo Hall, who's been through injuries and age.
Coming off an Achilles last year.
Not nearly the same player he used to be.
And he was never a great man-to-man guy. He was more of a zone corner that makes
more
plays
of a risk-taker
anyway.
Who made big plays.
Absolutely.
Okay. So now, who goes up against him? If he's outside, that means Randall probably gets him some, but when the Giants go three wide, maybe Harris is out there and Randall's in the slot.
Yeah.
Based on what Ruben was telling us, right? Mm-hmm. So now that means Breland may be matched up against Randall. I like the Giants' chances there just based on pure talent if Ruben can get the thing done.
Right, and now the trick, too, is you have to give Eli time to take advantage of those matchups, which would come back to the offensive line. So that, to me, is big matchup number one offensively. On the defensive side of the ball, Paul, the good news about this is that the Redskins want to run the football. Top rushing team in the league so far. They got two guys with over 150 rushing yards on the season, okay? Those two guys are big. They're fast. Both of them can play. We know about Alfred Morris. I think fans will be pretty impressed by Matt Jones when they see him on Sunday. Big dude with a lot of speed. Now, here's the trick. The Giants are the third-best rushing defense in the league this year, both in terms of yards per carry and in terms of yards per game. They've been fantastic so far this season. I believe it's 3.2 yards per carry.
Yep.
Or is it 3.0 maybe?
It's right around a little over 3.
It's right in that neighborhood. So the trick now is to get Kirk Cousins into those third and longs. And in the past, we've seen when the Giants have played Kirk Cousins, if you get him into those third and long must-pass situations, if you can get pressure on him, you can force him into some forced throws, some mistakes, and some turnovers. So I once again go to the Giants' defensive line here. Not only important to stop the run on first and second down, but you got to find a way to get pressure against a much improved Redskins offensive line from the last couple of years.
You know, John, what they always say in situations like this, when you go up against a run-first team, put the ball in the hands of the quarterback.
Right. Well, you got to stop the run on first and second down.
And so I'm not even going towards getting pressure on third down. Get that running game off the field. Put the ball in Cousins' hands, and even if he has time, if he's climbing uphill the whole day,
you'll live with
if he's got to throw the ball 35 times, I'm okay with that.
No, that's fair. That's fair.
You know?
I agree with that.
I can't. If I'm the Giants, I can't allow these two backs to combine for 160 yards running.
No, absolutely.
That's bad.
No. Step number one, you have to stop the run. No question about
one
it.
And
but
two.
To me, once you get into third and distance here, if I'm Steve Spagnuolo, I'm willing to take some chances on bringing some pressure in this game.
I agree.
Because I don't think, you know, DeSean Jackson's not playing. He's got the hamstring.
Right.
Who outside for this Redskin team has that speed to really beat you vertically? I'm not sure if that guy is there. Pierre Garçon, 3 years ago, maybe he could have done that, but he's had so many foot and lower leg injuries. I don't think he has that type of explosive ability anymore. Then you look at the backups. So you have, you know, Derek Carrier.
Andre Roberts.
You got Ryan Grant. Jameson Crowder. I mean, they're fine players, but they aren't going to burn you deep. Now, Jordan Reed's another question. We'll talk about him in a second.
Yeah.
But I think Spags can be a little bit aggressive here on third downs in this game, bringing some heat, and you try to get some pressure home.
Here's the one thing that kind of plays into both stopping the run and bringing heat, John. The Giants' best pass rusher in the front seven looks to be Devon Kennard right now.
I would say Robert Ayers myself.
Okay. All right. I'll go with Ayers. Kennard's certainly right there.
No question about it.
And if they're going to be schematically tricky, Kennard's going to have to be the guy.
Yeah, because you can move him around, rush him inside, rush him outside. Absolutely.
Here's the thing. If you want to stop that run first, okay, they are so powerful with their power run game that Kennard's going to have to be a beast in that regard.
He's going to have to set that edge because they like to run that stretch play, and that linebacker on the outside and the defensive end, by the way, have to set
now,
that edge.
Now, here's the thing about that. Okay, usually the Redskins, if you watch the tape of the first two games, they primarily run left. Now, that would be to JT Thomas's side. So now, if you're Spags, do you flop the linebackers, which he's been known to do in the past, and get Kennard over to that side because you're worried about the power left that the Redskins implement? They are a heavy power left team.
And then they
heavy.
Then they can pull Sheriff, bring him around, and he can get up ahead and block for you a little bit.
So do you do that? Or, if you're going to commit that, now you're taking Kennard out of your blitz package. Mm-hmm. So now, if you do that, do you blitz JT Thomas off the other side? Or do you tell Kennard, you're going to be part of our blitz package, and JT Thomas, you got to hold up against their power run game?
And he's more of a sideline guy, not so much of a power set. The
more athletic than he is a foot in the ground guy.
Correct.
So
I could see some safety blitzes in this game.
I could definitely
see some guys
see
coming out of the slot.
Oh,
and I could see some safeties coming out of the secondary.
Absolutely, and that's my answer to the dilemma. My answer is
you move Kennard over, and then you bring secondary pressure.
Yes, absolutely. That's where I'm going.
And by the way, we didn't even talk about this.
We did not.
By the way,
we did not. But that's where I'm going.
All right. Well, where are you guys going? Let's get to the phone calls at 201-939-4513. Fans, don't forget that Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings, the daily fantasy sports destination. At DraftKings, you can play as often as you want with no season-long commitment. Go to DraftKings.com and enter promo code New York to play for free today. You'll get Jeff Fiegel's picks tomorrow for the weekend, as well as a reaction, of course, to Giants and Redskins on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Me and Fiegel's right here on Giants.com at noon. We'll see if I wake up. I might have to make a last-second call to Tino. Only lives like 15 minutes away. Hey, Paulie, I didn't make it out of bed. You're going to have to come in. And I know Paul's always there to talk. He always wants to talk Giants.
I will be up all night watching tape anyway, so what's the difference?
A zombified Tino tomorrow is certainly plausible. All right, AJ in South Carolina has been holding the longest for us. AJ, what's going on, pal?
Thank you for taking my call. I got two questions.
Sure.
I think Odell going to have a good game tonight, and the wide receiver has to step up.
Okay, we agree.
And Davis and Harris.
You know, it's funny. I think they'll use Harris and Davis. I think you have to limit Harris's snaps on offense just a little bit because of his role on special teams. I don't think he can be your full-time third wide receiver simply because he's on every special team. So I think you'll see some Jeremy Davis in there. And quite frankly, don't be shocked if you see Shane Vereen in the slot a little bit in this game too. I
can
see them
it.
Using him as a wide receiver.
Tom did say something in the Coughlin's Corner on Giants.com. If you ever get a chance, you can check that out.
Mike Eisen does a
Coughlin's Corner where it's a one-on-one with Tom that they post once a week. And if you read that one, Tom says, I'm going to need all four receivers in the game.
Yeah.
So Harris and Davis are both going to get shots tonight, I think.
Do you think we're going to see Julian Talley at some point before the season's over off the practice squad?
Not if Cruz is able to get back in the lineup against Buffalo.
That's a good point.
And my other question, I know the Giants had Kendrick Ellis earlier this week. Do you think he will play tonight?
I think it depends if you see Ayers, Jenkins, and Kuhn. Kuhn has been ruled out for the game, if I'm not mistaken,
right,
correct?
I believe he was.
And Ayers has been ruled questionable, and Jenkins is probable? Is that how it came out, or both guys probable?
We got to look for this thing.
Look it up.
Call it up. All right. I get it for you.
You got it? I believe I have my email, but I can pull up the injury report from yesterday. Hold on one second. Let me see here. Which guy? One was questionable and one was probable, I think. Let me see. Ayers was questionable with the hamstring, and Jenkins was probable with the hamstring. So, and Jay Bromley probable with the knee. So I think there's a chance you might see Ellis in there, defensive tackle. It's not like he's been on the street for long. He's probably still in shape from camp. He knows the Giants playbook. So if they use him inside a tackle, I don't think that's going to be an issue in this game. Thanks for the call, AJ. I appreciate it. 201-939-4513. You agree, Paul?
Yeah.
Do you think he'll be active over, like, Lewis Nix, let's say?
I probably would do that, only because Ellis was here the entire offseason. And that, you know, and he's a veteran. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised at all.
Dave, let's go to the long-distance guy. We'll get Jeff in New Hampshire in first on line four to try to save his phone bill a little bit. Jeff, what's going on?
Not much. How you guys doing?
Doing well, Jeff. What's up?
Just wanted to touch on the Thursday night football and then the game in general.
Sure.
I hate these Thursday night games, I have to be honest. I think they're a terrible thing for the league. I think it's all about generating revenue and getting the game on TV more. I think it's horrible for the players.
I don't think anybody would disagree with you, but it is what it is.
It is what it is, and that's kind of my next point. If we have to have one, which we do, I'm glad it's this early in the season. Get it out of the way.
Agreed. Glad it's home,
you know,
also.
Jeff, the only thing, and I'll add this real quick, some teams like to have the Thursday game late because they almost feel like, despite the quick turnaround, it almost gives them like a mini bye week towards the end of the season.
I don't go for that.
I've heard a lot of people think that the Lions and the Cowboys get a benefit of having that Thanksgiving game late in the year because they feel like those teams get the extra bye week. But you know what? That's kind of a chef's choice type of deal. There are strengths and good things and bad things within both scenarios.
You say tomato, I say tomato. Okay.
Exactly. It all depends on the team, your situation your team is in, I think.
Yeah, yes. Absolutely.
And I think for us, it's good. We're going to have 10 days after this to hopefully get some of the guys like Chris. Bad for a guy like Flowers. He doesn't have a whole lot of time. I personally don't think we'll see him tonight, but I don't know. But for a guy like Cruz, now he's got 10 more days, or some of the other guys nursing injuries. And like it's been talked about a little bit, after you have a disappointing loss, you want to get back out on the field as soon as possible.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of where I'm coming from with it. I'm hoping that they're going to use that in that meaning. And my thought on tonight is, I know you mentioned at the top of the show, a lot of people don't necessarily want to say it's a must-win game. Normally, under most circumstances, I wouldn't say it is. In week three, I wouldn't say something like that. In our situation, I think it's the closest thing you're going to get to a must-win game because of the fact that, A, it's our second division game. You really can't afford to fall to 0-2 in a division when you only play six division games.
Yep.
You can't afford to fall to 0-3. If we're Seattle and we went 0-3, I'd still think we could make the playoffs. If we were coming off, you know, back-to-back Super Bowl trips, we're coming off back-to-back losing seasons, and we've lost two games already. Losing's like winning. It can become a culture. It can become a habit. Right now, we're getting too used to losing, so for us to fall 0-3 would be worse than it would for a Seattle or even a team like the Colts or somebody like that.
The other thing you're forgetting,
it would be horrible.
You're also forgetting if they lose tonight, they're 0-3 in the conference too.
Right, and quite frankly, you're playing a very tough Bills team on the road the following game, which is obviously a very tough game to win. So look, Jeff, I don't think Paul and I disagree with anything you're saying. A very, very important game. We're with you.
Yep. Matchup-wise, but like you guys were talking about, I do like the fact that our run defense, I've been impressed with that the first 2 weeks, and hopefully we can keep that up tonight. Colin Jenkins, I'm really hoping we keep him at tackle as opposed to putting him at end. I know he's versatile, experienced, all that. I didn't think he played that great playing end against Dallas. I don't think he's got the speed anymore in his older age, but that sack he had against Atlanta, I think that shows that he's going to be more effective as a tackle than as an end.
No argument for me.
Now, I do think Jenkins does give you value at end on rundowns. Now, I don't think he's an around-the-edge pass rusher at end anymore, but I do think he will give you something in terms of setting the edge on run defense at end. I do think he helps there, Jeff, but in terms of pass rushing, I think you're absolutely right.
They need him out there a little bit because you can't expect Kerry Wynn and Selvey to play all the snaps.
Correct.
If you're looking for that run defense off the edge. And by the way, you mentioned Ayers before. Let me just say this to you, caller. You're talking about matchups. Going against that power Redskins run game, John mentioned making sure you got that edge. To me, that means a heavy dose of Selvey and a heavy dose of Ayers.
Absolutely.
Kerry Wynn, I'm sorry.
For tonight.
Well, Ayers is more of a pass rusher. You know, that's what he's become.
Yeah.
That's what he's become.
And he's actually really good rushing the passer out of that defensive tackle
he is.
Technique. So I'm with Paul. I think the strength of both Kerry Wynn and George Selvey, and I think, quite frankly, a big sleeper reason why the run defense is a lot better this year is because both Wynn and Selvey are so solid against the run. I think they've been big difference makers, and I think you'll see both those guys at end a lot tonight. And I know fans really love DeMontre Moore. I don't think you're going to see a ton of him out there except on obvious passing situations.
How can you? His track record against the run doesn't merit it.
Absolutely. Thank you, Jeff.
No, thank you, guys.
Appreciate the call, my friend. Good stuff. 201-939-4513. Rich is in Trenton, New Jersey. Rich, thanks for being patient. You're up next, pal.
Hey, thanks for calling. Giants fan since 91.
Thanks, Rich.
I'm really calling to talk about two things. One is this rush defense that's in third place right now. But something about this Washington team scares me. Something between those two horses of running backs and that offensive line, I think the Giants' defensive line may be exposed tonight. So I'm really, really concerned. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, it's not just about the D-line, though. It's about the front seven. You know, it's about the linebackers. John Beeson's going to try to play tonight. I don't know how many snaps he's going to get. And the question is, not only how many he plays,
when
but how effective is he?
And what snaps do you
How do you
on?
Spot
right.
him?
Right.
So that's a big part of this equation. The other part about it is, remember what John said earlier about sending the secondary some on safety blitzes and slot blitzes and stuff like that? I'll tell you why.
Oh, yeah.
I wouldn't mind a few run blitzes either.
Yeah.
I really wouldn't. You know, so.
Well, we need it.
Well,
We get no penetration on the rush, and the pass rush is non-existent.
So, do you have to be worried about the Redskins' power run game? Absolutely, you do. But here's what I will tell you. That's the two things that are most important, I think, about stopping this running game tonight. Number one, make sure you fill your lanes, because if you leave exposed lanes, these guys will kill you.
Carl Banks always talks about gap integrity, very important in the game.
Huge. That's number one.
Yeah.
Fill your lanes, number one. And number two, and this is absolutely critical tonight, more so than maybe it is in some other games, because of the power of these two runners, you must not let them break those tackles. No missed tackles tonight. None of this one-arm stuff. Okay? Wrap up. Take them down. Okay? You start ankle-tackling guys, your one-arm guys. These two guys have a lot of coal in their engines.
Yeah, they're 220, 230 pounds.
And they will break that stuff.
Absolutely.
And instead of a 2-yard gain, it's a 10-yard gain.
Yeah, and that's one thing I actually like with the addition of the rookie as well as Merriweather. They bring a certain toughness to that secondary. Wouldn't you agree?
I think Merriweather brings toughness, but I also think he has a tendency to try to drop the shoulder and not wrap up. And we saw that last week. I forget who he hit on the sideline where he kind of bounced off the guy, and then the guy gained about 5 or 6 more yards after the play.
Yeah.
I forget who he tried to tackle. And that's one of the things Merriweather had
Tammy?
Issue with before. It might have been Jacob Tammy. He's got it. You know, I love the toughness. I love the aggressiveness. I love trying to put the big hit on somebody, but wrap the guy up. You got to wrap the guy up.
Hey, I have one final point, and
sure.
I really would like you guys' opinion on this.
Go ahead.
I remember last season I was listening to the Giants broadcast of one of the games that we just completely flubbed, and it was either Howard Cross or Carl Banks who said, and I quote, and I'm going to paraphrase, the Giants can't get out of their own way. They have adapted to a culture of losing, and even when they're playing well, they are not comfortable with playing well, so they always find a way to lose games. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, I imagine that was probably said during one of the losing streaks over the last couple of years, if it was says at all. And you know what? At times during those losing streak, the Giants shot themselves in the foot a lot. But at the end of last season, they got out of their way. They played a little bit better. They played about 500 ball the last 6 or 7 games of the year, give or take. And they got out of that pattern. So I think this goes back to what Jeff said before, you want to start getting back into the winning ways because, you know, things do become habits. So you got to start winning. You got to start playing better football. And all the stuff we mentioned, here's the bottom line. You can break down the O-line, the D-line up front, the receiver matchups, all that stuff here, Rich. Here's what you got to do in this game. And this is the thing I know Tom Coughlin has talked about ad nauseum this week with the team. You got to play better in the fourth quarter when the game's on the line.
Absolutely.
That's a lot.
You have to.
Absolutely. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you, Rich. Because, Paul, bottom line, you know, Giants were leading 10 points both games, fourth quarter. Lost both.
Yeah.
Look, it's, you know, it's a saying from 2011. It's a platitude.
Finish.
But you know what? It's a lot easier said than done. I get that. You could say finish. You still have to go out there and do it. But, boy, I mean, you don't have to play great. If the Giants would have just gotten a damn field goal in one of the last few drives against the Falcons, it would have been an overtime game or close to it.
You know, I think the one thing that I'm really going to be looking at very carefully tonight, and you have to, John, based on what we've seen the first 2 weeks, is when they've got the lead, how will they deal with that? Are they going to go for more? Are they going to be aggressive? Is Coach McAdoo going to attempt to pile on the points? Or is, you know that saying sometimes, play not to lose?
Yeah.
And, you know, I think what I want to see from the Giants, I want to see them, if they get a lead, I want to see them then hit a big play to then give them that spark to say, okay, now we're going to put the clamps down. I don't want to see them be methodical.
You don't want to just be holding on. You want to take the game and put it away.
You know, just bang, finish. You know, like Coach says, but get a big play that will really spark the team once they get the lead. Don't kind of get the lead and then kind of ease into a slumber where the waves are going back and forth.
Remember, fans, Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings. Now, if you've never played on DraftKings, it's changing the way we play fantasy football. I know it's changed the way that Paul plays fantasy football. Just pick
like
your contest.
I've ever played.
Pick your players, and if you win, pick up your cash. Simple as that. Go to DraftKings.com and enter promo code New York to claim your free entry today. Remy, he's down in Dallas, and I'm sure he's been taking some grief for the last 2 weeks. Remy, what's going on, pal?
Well, thank you for taking my call. The first thing I wanted to ask about is what you talked about before, John Beeson, how much will he play tonight and what will be his impact? And then the second thing I wanted to talk about was Landon Collins. In his first two games, at least what I saw, he did not look good. Will he improve and will he make? And can he make the Giants look smart for what some would consider reaching on him and trading up to get him?
Absolutely, he's going to improve. I mean, look, any rookie player to start a year, spare some of the freak shows out there like a Zach Martin last year, they're going to have some struggles and some issues earlier in their rookie years, especially at safety, a position that requires so much reading of the offense, so much quick reaction time, and frankly, a lot of experience to be effective there, that, yeah, Landon Collins is going to get better. I don't think he played poorly the first 2 weeks, but look, rookies are going to take a little while to develop, whether it's a safety, whether it's a left tackle. I'm sure the Giants would like Eric Flowers to give more consistent pass protection, and he's going to do that too. Rookies are going to make mistakes. What you want to see is that they don't make the same mistake more than once. They learn from them, and they get better. And I think the Giants are fully confident that Collins is going to do that.
Yeah, I think Collins has played okay.
Yeah, he's been fine.
You know, he's been okay.
Bottom line, we haven't seen him let that ball go over his head yet.
Yeah.
And that's that's the Cardinals' sin.
No doubt.
Just probably spoiler with Odell.
I tell you what, he may have some matchups against Reed tonight, John.
That's a big matchup. Jordan Reed, and look, he's had so many concussion and other injury issues over the last couple of years, he hasn't been able to play much. But when Jordan Reed plays, he's damn good.
And he's healthy now.
Absolutely. Yeah. And your first question on Beeson, Remy. Look, I'm sure John Beeson is going to lobby to try to play all 50 or 60 defensive snaps, however many they're going to beat in this game, or 70. But yeah. I would say somewhere around 35 and 40 would be the max he would be out there for.
I said 20 to 25 before.
Realistically, I would say 25 to 30. I think if it's like super tight at the end and they're like, oh man, we got to have this guy out there, and Beeson basically doesn't let them take him out, which he can do pretty much if he wants once he's on the
field. But if he's winded,
I don't. But it's
then he's going to have to come out.
You know John Beeson.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to come out of the game.
I know.
Thank you, Remy.
Thank you.
Appreciate the call, my friend. Rick is down in Tampa Bay. Rick's up next. What's up, Rick?
Hey, guys. What's going on? Hi. Give Anita a shout from Florida for me.
All right, Rick, we'll do it.
When you're here.
Now, Rick, here's the thing. Anita's a Miami girl. She's not a Tampa girl.
That's true.
I know that.
Yeah, and there's quite a difference.
Girl. We'll give her that. There is a difference. You're right. Tampa's trying to be like Miami. They're working on it. But you know what? As you can see, you have a lot of callers call from around the country that are transplanted from Jersey and New York who are concerned and are basically, you know, about the Giants. And me, you know, real quick, a couple of quick things. I'm glad the game's coming quick because as a fan, just like the players, want to get it out of the system.
Okay,
a couple
absolutely.
Of games. Now, yeah, but the thing is, these last two games, it's almost like coming out of preseason that the Giants were so bad that winning was something that they weren't prepared to do. And you saw that in those first two games. They weren't able to win the games. And it's just something that was out of their comfort zone of winning. And unfortunately, because I was really looking forward to Atlanta's game, thinking, you know, Atlanta's coming off a Monday night game. We should be able to beat them at home. And we didn't. And now being stuck 0-2 with our guys hurt, I wish we had this game with 2-0. We'd be able to throw the game out, let the guys sit and relax and go play Buffalo. But we can't. And I think one of the problems is without Cruz, and I really have to hang this on the player development on the Giants team, because Cruz being out so long, they should have known that this would have taken so long. If you take Cruz out of the lineup, Odell Beckham will be covered so much more. And the other guys, Ruben Randle and, of course, Parker, who's gone, are not good. And for them not to really notice that, or at least to make arrangements
all right.
for letting James go and everything, because Cruz wasn't going to be there for 4 weeks, something's not right there.
You went through a litany of things here, and yeah. some of your stuff is so off base, I got to put the pause button on you, okay? When Cruz originally tweaked his calf, they did not know that he was going to wind up being out of practice for a month, John.
No, I mean, there was talk that he might still be able to play in the third or fourth
right.
preseason.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, to in the hindsight say, well, if they knew Cruz wasn't going to be there, you can't do that.
You know, Mike Francesa, I know you guys always do on, I listen to Fan as well. He said, you know, that is a tricky injury. And he even said, he's going to be out longer than they expected.
But
he might
what happened?
That, and I'm thinking, if he knows that, why can't
they? No, Rick, hold on one second. I want to point to somebody else in the league. Alshon Jeffrey with the Chicago Bears tweaked his calf the same exact time that Victor Cruz did, and Alshon Jeffrey was back
playing for week one.
So there really is no way to know. You know what I'm saying?
So you got to be careful with that. Okay.
The
other thing you mentioned, you said it didn't look like the Giants were ready to win. I would say that would be a true statement if they went into the regular season and got hammered in both of their first two games. Then you could say this team wasn't ready, they had no business starting the season, and they were blown off the field because they don't belong.
To finish. That's what I meant.
But now you didn't say that, though.
They don't have that.
But you didn't say that.
That.
What you said was they weren't ready to win.
You misunderstood me. That's what
all right.
I meant.
I'm just trying to clarify. So once we got you down.
No, I agree 100%. Blowing out, that's a whole other story.
Right.
They were so close and everything. I think that killer instinct that you were just saying, that we should have. Where are they going to get that from? They didn't have it, and they'd have it all spring, all preseason. Can it just emerge?
Well,
that's the thing.
Well, here's the thing, and this is how it emerges. I know people like to take this as like an overarching guys being ready to win and playing crunch time. This is all that needs to happen, right? Literally, and I don't want to simplify it too much, but this is what needs to happen. There needs to be the one player that steps up. It could be an offensive player. It could be a defensive player. That in the final 5 minutes of this game, steps up, plays above the X's and O's, and makes a play. It could be somebody in that final drive against the Falcons stepping in front of a Matt Ryan pass and picking it off. It could be a defensive lineman beating the offensive tackle for a sack. Or, quite frankly, it could be Larry Donnell getting vertical and coming down with that catch. It could be Eli throwing a better pass to Jerome Cunningham on the sideline. It could be Beckham not dropping that pass on the sideline that went through his hands. Someone's got to step up, and this comes down to, I don't even think if it's a mental thing. It comes down to physically somebody going out there and making a big play. Teams win because of big plays. And that's why teams win games in the league.
You know, the Hankinson catch, when he climbed the stairs and made that catch over the middle, John.
Big play.
It was a huge play.
Dude, Julio Jones beat Prince one-on-one.
Julio Jones is really good, though.
No, but there was
He's going to do that sometimes.
No, and look, I'm not trying to kill Prince. I'm just saying one of the best players in the Falcons
did what
went
he's paid
out there
to do.
And made a big play.
Right. And that's fine. The Hankinson one is the one that really gets to me, though, because he's got no business catching that pass, and he goes and he does it. The problem is, in the fourth quarter, the Giants haven't had any of those plays so far.
They haven't.
None.
Right, any of those plays.
None.
And the thing, real quickly before I go, because you guys do a great job.
Thank you.
It scares me, this game, because the optimism I had a week ago now with Eric Flowers out, with Beeson just limited playing, and Cruz definitely not there is going to hurt. And with DRC not playing against this, all of a sudden, team that has the it factor. You know, one year, I'd love to see the Giants have that be talked about as, hey, the surprise team. They have those couple of guys that are like, oh, you know, we didn't anticipate them to be so good. We never had that in years. I would love to have that. Like, and they're talking about the Redskins with this mojo and all this stuff. So now I'm really worried that, unfortunately, this could be a loss, and I really don't want to go 0-3. But you guys do a great job.
Thank you, Rick.
Thank you.
I'm speaking for the Giants fan, because I know I speak for a lot of them. They feel the same exact way.
All right, Rick. Thanks for calling in. We appreciate it. And by the way, we know a lot of our listeners and fans are from out of state, because you guys don't get Giants anywhere else. And really appreciate you guys tuning in and keeping track of your New York football Giants with us.
Quick comment to just build off what he said. And talking about the receivers, I do want to mention Randle, though, because, John, He caught over 70 balls last year for over 900 yards and had a very good final month of the season.
Absolutely.
His last two games were his best two games.
200 and what, 70 yards in those two games?
So to give the coaching staff a little bit of leeway here, they're thinking he's going to build off that. They're thinking, well, maybe Ruben's finally got things exactly aligned that he's going to give us everything we need without Cruz there.
Right.
So you can't blame them for feeling that way based on the evidence that they thought they saw in December.
Right.
And unfortunately, again, was it the knee tendonitis that he had in training camp? Is it that Ruben's not getting open? Is it that Ruben, is not part of what the offense has been right now? I don't know truly the answer to that, but I know he's got to be big tonight.
Absolutely. And one other thing I want to know, too, as good as this Redskin defense has been, and I'm not trying to take anything away from either the Dolphins or the Rams, the two teams they've played so far this year, because I think the two quarterbacks are good, not great quarterbacks on those two teams.
They're
fine.
They're good.
But I don't think the Redskins has faced a number of weapons on the field at the same time that they'll see against the Giants this week. There's, you know, the best wide receiver they've played before this week is Jarvis Landry, who's a really good player, but he's more of a possession receiver. He's not a guy that's going to make huge plays down the field. They haven't dealt with the speed of an Odell Beckham combined with a playmaking tight end like Larry Donnell, as long as he makes the catches, a Shane Vereen out of the backfield. I don't think they've had to deal with the array of weapons that the Giants can bring forward tonight. So I want to see if that defense of the Redskins can hold up against a much more dynamic group of skill position guys.
It's not even weapons, John. Eli Manning's better than both of those other quarterbacks.
No question about it. Agreed. 201-939-4513. David's in North Carolina. David, what's going on?
Hey, guys.
Hi.
Just a fair last few calls. It's a comment on a couple of those things.
Sure.
Before I touch on the game here against Washington. If we take our Giants fan glasses off for a second and we think about the last two games, and we think about, well, you know, we've got a rookie middle linebacker, and we've got, you know, new safeties, and we've got defensive linemen that, are still a bit inexperienced, et cetera. I mean, if you were the fan of the Falcons or Cowboys and your quarterback had a chance to go down and take the lead and you saw this Giants defense on paper, I mean, to me, the defense didn't let us down. I mean, you would expect a Matt Ryan, a Tony Romo, a Tom Brady to be able to, you know, find some holes in this defense, pick it apart. I mean, if I was a Falcon fan or a Dallas fan, I would have been disappointed. Now, granted, Dez Bryant was out. Maybe that, you know, was a little bit of a different story. But you would expect against our personnel, I mean, it's just the truth that those guys, that's what they're paid to do, make big plays. Yeah, it's tough to watch and see. But to me, those guys did, you know, what's expected. Big-time quarterbacks, franchise quarterbacks leading their team down. And that's why I put the bulk of these losses because, I know you guys are talking about somebody needs to make a physical play, but to me, people are going to make mistakes. I mean, Odell dropped the ball on that drive.
He did.
You can't – these guys aren't perfect. They're going to make a physical mistake. But the mental mistake, I mean, it's just no excuse. It's hard to let Eli off the hook on these two games, and that's the guy we're counting on.
Now, David,
I mean,
David.
One guy on this team that we can't afford to make a mental mistake. And when you tell your running back not to score twice, when you hold on to the ball, you know, longer than 4 or 5 seconds down near the 10-yard line, when you almost get strip sacked again, and we were very fortunate that Donnell covered that up, and, I mean, maybe if they went to the replay, it would have been a forward pass. You don't call the timeout on a crucial 3rd and 7. Those are the things that when you're not a great team, you know, we got to have them. Fair, unfair, you know, to me, Eli's got to step up and lead this team. That's what we're paying him to do. That's what we got to have him to do because of some of the deficiencies on this team.
Well, David, I will say this, and we've talked about some of those mental mistakes already on the show the last couple of weeks. I do think, and Paul and I talked about this a lot ad nauseum in the offseason, that we knew heading into this year that the defense, especially early in the year, because it's a new system, was going to be a work in progress. It was going to take some time for them to get everything
going.
That's fair. And in that, you're absolutely right. And I think everyone knew that the team was going to have to lean on the offense a little bit this early part of the season. And I agree. Based on what you saw from the Cowboys and Falcons defenses last year, you would say, you know what, the offense should be able to put up some points. Now, we'll see. Maybe those two units are much improved this year and they're going to be better defenses. But we talked this season about this Giants offense having to average somewhere between 24 and 27, 28 points, you know, if this team wants to go where they want to go. And I think it's fair to say you would have liked to see more than 20 and 24 points from this offense the first two games of the year.
Absolutely. I'm still putting the burden of these two losses on the offense, John. I have to say that. I think the defense has performed, for the most part, better than most people expected. As John said, it was going to be a work in progress. And you're right. If you're Dallas and you're Atlanta, you're thinking, we've got a chance to come back against this defense if the Giants' offense doesn't put the game out of reach.
Yeah.
And guess what?
Right,
they didn't put the games out of reach.
No question.
And then, so I'll try to be quicker with Washington. You know, like the last caller, man, I'm really worried. Not just because they're off to a good start, but, I mean – to me, if you look at the – I went back and watched a little bit of the Miami game, recorded it off the Sunday ticket, and they really should have won that game. I mean, they outplayed Miami in that game. And then I watched a little bit of the Rams game, and, I mean, they've got they were lining up in three tight ends, but they weren't running out of that three tight ends.
They'll throw it to Reed.
They were also passing.
Yes, I know. Schematically, they're a difficult team to deal with.
Yes, and then – and I know you're probably not going to like this because this is kind of going in, you know, depression mode. But not only, you know, does it just really stink for the outlook of the season to start 0-3, but what really worries me about tonight is an 0-3 start. I really hate to see this era kind of come to an end, and I'm just worried that an 0-3 start is gonna put that more likely than not. And I just hate to see it. I mean. I was just a kid during the tail end of the Parcells era. I was a teenager and young adult during the 90s. So, you know, we went through some lean years. And to see this one come to an end, I sure hope it's not the case because Buffalo's going to be a tough game. And I really hope the Giants come out and play well tonight because I appreciate the heck out of everything Coach Coughlin's done. And I really would hate to see an 0-3 start lead to, you know, that – kind of a departure at the end of the season. I'll take it off the air and
thanks, David.
Let's go, Giants. Come on.
Hey, look, I think, boy, Giant fans' minds, and we've heard it on a lot of these calls, Paul, they try to be optimistic to start, then they slowly descend into darkness. Boy.
I don't know how to respond to that except that I would tell you this. There's not a person in this building who does not respect Coach Coughlin, and there's not a person in this building who does not want to win this game tonight.
Very, very badly.
I mean, I don't have any other answer.
Though most of the guys that are going to be responsible for winning the game are at the hotel right now. They're not in the building.
Understood.
Though, I'm not sure anybody on this planet wants to get this win more than Paul.
I spent hours upon hours upon hours of watching tape, folks, and I have to tell you, when you watch as much tape as I do, and then the game doesn't fall the way you kind of expect it to, it really ticks you off because then you say, why did I spend so many hours watching tape?
All I remember, my favorite moment from Paul Dottino last year was, and we have three more calls. We got 10 minutes. I'll get to all three of you guys. Don't worry. We'll get to you. But this is a great story. So we're coming up from Philly last year to the game in Philly in the car. It's me, you, Chris Magikowski, who is our trainer, and Chris Robertson.
Yeah.
And Dottino has this rant for about 4 or 5 minutes about how I spend all this time watching tape. I do all this study. And you know what? I show up to the game, and none of it matters. This is ridiculous. I won't accept this. And it was one of the best 4 to 5 minute rants I've ever heard.
You should have been recording that on your phone.
It was fantastic. And you're, like, demanding apologies and stuff. Oh, it was fantastic. I loved it.
I, you know, it's like when you put as much into tape. Again, answer a role, believe what you see. And the tape doesn't lie. I believe in all of that stuff. Dan Reeves used to say that. The tape doesn't lie. I believe in all of that stuff. And so when you see it, you believe it, you go out there on Sunday, and then it just all goes to hell. Man, does that just freak you out? And I was,
You were hot coming home from Philly.
That night.
You were hot.
I was like, everything about football 101 just went up in flames. It all just went up in flames. None of it. None of it computed.
Yeah, I told you. And by the way, not to freak people out, that tends to happen on Thursday night games too. And we talked about that earlier in the show.
It does.
With the quick turnaround. These Thursday night games can be really, really weird. All right, here we go. Three calls. I'll take them in the order in which they called in. We'll give you guys all plenty of time. We got a full 10 minutes for the three callers. Let's go to John in Syracuse. Johnny's up first. What's up, John?
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. So just a couple quick things. Paulie, earlier when you were talking about how you want the Giants to get, you know, big plays at the end of the game, I feel that especially in the Cowboys game, you know, we were getting big plays, but it's that one play, it seems, in every fourth quarter that changes momentum completely, you know, and just gets the Giants to kind of, it seems like they don't have the same, like, energy as they do until, like, once that play happens.
Well, John, you know what? I think there are two big moments in that Cowboys game you can point to. One is the play that the Cowboys made getting the strip on Eli Manning from behind. That was a big one. And then the play where Wanyonga doesn't turn around on the pass to the outside. But again, you're talking about a rookie middle linebacker there. But again, this is what we're talking about, guys making individual plays that can turn the game one way or the other.
Atlanta stripped Eli from behind, too, last week.
Right.
Yeah,
that's
that one.
That's the play I was talking about in the Atlantic. I'm sorry. That's my fault.
Okay.
And last point, I'll make it real quick. I was wondering, do you think with the running game that the Redskins have currently, and especially playing, you know, multiple tight ends, do you think there's a possibility that Spags maybe throws in like a 3-4 where he has Kennard rushing the passer and maybe has Unga and Beason out there because Unga's leading the team, I think, 17 tackles?
Oh, I would be very surprised if Unga and Beason are on the field at the same time.
Yeah, I think right now, do you know why? Real quick, I think the strength of this team right now in their run stopping is on the defensive line, and I don't think you want to take one of those guys off the field to have, say, a rookie middle linebacker out there. I think you want those tackles and those ends out there to stop the run.
Sure.
Yeah, gotcha.
It's about the line of scrimmage is really what it is. Thank you.
Appreciate the call, my friend. 201-939-4513. I'm not sure if he's been in hibernation, this guy. I haven't heard from him in a while. Have you heard from him a bit?
He's been few and far between this year.
I know. Well, yeah, he also has his own program to worry about, which I think he's still enthusiastic
the
about.
The fraud program.
Oh, come on. See, now, why are you starting with him early for?
I'm goofing
why
with him.
Why are you starting
I'm
early?
Goofing with him.
Shakes
he knows.
Shakes in Baltimore. Shakes. What do you do? What's up, pal?
What's going on, Pete Dyson?
How you doing?
What's going on, John?
What's up, buddy?
I'm all right, man. I got a lot, so.
Yeah, you got time.
Brace yourself here.
Yeah. Oh, he's clearing his throat. Uh-oh.
Here we go.
First off, and I want to finish with a question as well.
Sure.
But first off, actually, too, this is a question as well. Uwani Unga, now, I feel like he's played well in the first game, and even in the first game, I felt like they played him too much. Now, I understood the first game because Brinkley was just brought in 3 days ago.
Right, correct.
That's fine. Okay? So Brinkley wasn't ready. Now, Brinkley comes in the next week and says, man, I picked up the system. I'm ready to go. You know? And you still play Uwani Unga all the snaps.
The only thing I can tell you on that, Shakes, the only thing I can tell you on that is that Tom Coughlin, I believe it was – I don't know if it was last Friday or is this Monday, and he seemed to intimate that Brinkley is, even though Brinkley said he had the system wrapped
he
up
wasn't
and good
there.
To go, that he wasn't there yet. And,
right.
And that's honestly all I can tell you. I don't know any more inner workings than that. That's based off what Coughlin said. So maybe Brinkley thinks he's closer than he actually is.
Yeah.
Sometimes the coaches see a lot more than the players.
I don't think that was an option, Shakes.
Right.
Okay. Granted that. All right, fine. But still, the kid has been out there too many snaps. And that's too much to ask from an undrafted free agent rookie.
Well, you know what the alternative, Shakes, I understand your point, and I'm not saying that you're wrong, because the more snaps he's on the field, the more chances he has of making a mistake or being exposed.
And he is going to make some mistakes as a rookie.
Of course he is. So your logic is sound. The question then becomes, okay, so who are you going to put out there? Now, if Brinkley's not ready, what are you going to do? You're going to put Herzlich out there?
Well, in passing situations,
you're going to put another DB out there?
In a nickel spot, could you play JT Thomas and Kennard?
I don't know that I really want to do that, because you really like Kennard off the edge, and you really like Thomas's athleticism to be able to move around a lot. If you're going to stick him in the middle, he's going to get caught in the laundry. So
you
I don't know. You know what I mean,
some
Shakes?
Time off, though, man. You still need to give Unga some break.
Again, I don't disagree with your basic premise. I don't know that there's an easy answer for it.
All right, Shakes, point number two.
No doubt. My question to that, to follow up, was Beason being back, and I think it's huge for us because, you know, veteran leadership and all that, and I feel like he's going to have a big game tonight. Y'all look out for that. But I'm looking at Unga, and maybe he should be on the outside. Now, I know he never played it. I know this. But I'm looking at how he hits the hole like a torpedo. Like, he hits the hole like Jonathan Goff used to hit it. Now, I know Jonathan Goff is a middle linebacker as well. But if you have Beeson on the middle and you got Unger on the outside as well as Kennard, and you can set Unger on blitzes like Stagg used to do with Kawika Mitchell, I think it can be good for us. So my question is, do y'all think he can play the outside?
See, I happen to like J.G. Thomas' speed outside, and I think you need somebody out there that – Thomas is the Giants' fastest linebacker.
He
just is. And I think, you know, if there's one place that Unger has struggled, Shakes, in my opinion at least, is in space. He's
right.
had trouble, you know, staying with quicker running backs and stuff like that. Coverage has been an issue from time to time. You want him going downhill in the mix with the offensive lineman. I think the more you put Unga in space, I think he might have more issues than he's going to have solutions.
I think, to be honest, if Shakes, I hear you right, you like the way he shoots towards the line of scrimmage. If you do, he's better in the middle because he can pick the A gap or the B gap and shoot through and knife in there.
Yeah.
So if you're going to put him outside, now he's limited in terms of where he can shoot through.
And you're almost taking away some of his aggressiveness.
Right.
Because he has
so,
to make sure he takes care of that
again,
edge.
A worthy, logical comment, but I don't know there's an easy answer to that.
All right, point three, Shakes.
Okay, all right. Now, this is what I wanted to say. Tonight, we need to keep the foot on the pedal. Can't just let up if we get a lead.
Yep.
Too many times we get a lead,
That's
even a three-point lead, like I believe Ann brought this up yesterday. But even a three-point lead, and we good. We content. Now we want to play conservative. No, keep the foot on the pedal. Also, the optimist that told me not to watch if you're going to be so down on the season and going into the season. Well, look at y'all now. A lot of y'all jumping on my bus now. So, season over. It's week two. I told y'all this in the offseason, man. Our team is mediocre. We need to step it up. We got our own issues. Let's stop looking at Dallas with, oh, their quarterback is gone. Oh, their wide receiver is gone. Oh, all their pass rushers is gone. I don't care. They're still 2-0. We got our own issues, man.
Shakes, remember
our
one
own
thing.
Issues.
Remember one thing. You can't change what's in the rearview mirror. Okay? You can't change what's in the rearview mirror. What's done is done. You can only change what's going to happen today or tomorrow. And that's what this team has to do.
All right, one last question, and I'll go off the air with it.
Yes, sir.
With tonight, they said Randall should be the slot receiver, right?
I would say from time to time. I wouldn't expect to see him there in every snap.
Okay, so in a three wide receiver set, who's the other outside wide receiver?
Probably Harris.
Great.
And Davis sometimes.
Love it. Thanks for taking my call, y'all.
Don't be a stranger, buddy.
I won't.
Take it easy. All right, real quick, we got 2 minutes to go. Jason in California. Jason, bring it.
Hey, what's going on today, fellas?
Hi. Doing well, Jason. What's up?
Hey, early in the shows, you were talking about Eli did some baseball training and so on for his arm.
Yeah.
Is there enough offense to see how that's affecting his game right now?
Well, you know what, Jason? Honestly, I think he's had great zip on the ball. I don't think velocity's been an issue. I think
Not
he's
at all.
Actually, if you want to go back to that great pass he made to Beckham, late in that game against Dallas, which you thought might have won the game for the Giants, he zipped that ball in between three defenders. I think his velocity has been great. Now, would you like to, you know, a couple plays here or there, a little bit more precise on the accuracy? Sure, but I think the zip has been absolutely fine.
Cool. I know you all just talking about the rearview mirror and so on. One thing I wanted to ask is actually more of a question about how the game is read and what we see on TV.
Yeah.
In the Dallas game, I noticed about maybe 4 or 5 times, Romo was like, it was on zeros on the clock, but no one called, like, you know, no one threw a flag that, you know, delayed a game. Is it a delay in what we see on TV versus what's going
it's
on?
It's interesting you say that because the delay a game call. John, maybe I'm seeing things, but more often than not, I see inconsistencies on that zero.
Generally speaking, how they tend to call, Jason, is that the referee will look at the clock. When the clock hits zero, he'll then look at the quarterback to see if the ball's been snapped or not, which means you'll
There's
get zero, and then you'll get a beat.
There's a breath
So
in
it's
there.
Like 1-0, snap, generally they'll let that go. If it's 1-0 snap, then they're going to throw the flag. So they'll give you that half a second after it hits zero, that little beat.
They're
to
not
get
supposed
the snap
to.
Off. They're not,
they're not supposed to.
Well, but
there's that breath that's
yes,
in there.
There is a breath because the referee can watch
I've
the
seen
center
it.
And the clock at the same time, and that's the reason that it's kind of officiated that way.
Yeah, because a couple of times there, especially because the game was so close, I'm looking at the clock going to zero, and I'm like,
I know,
you know,
I
can
know.
Extend the play. And don't get me wrong, I'm not looking for every little thing to pick on to say we should have won that game. I'm not doing that. I just want to know for my own information that
you know what's
why
funny?
Is it on zero and no one's calling it.
If I could just tell you, and this has been something that I've wondered for a long time, John, because ever since they put in replay, I often wondered to myself, well, wait a minute. That's not a judgment call. The ball is either snapped or not snapped.
Yeah, well,
the
not
clock a... says zero. The clock says zero. That's not
that.
A judgment call. So why shouldn't that be part of replay? Because you can clearly see on replay if the ball snapped or not. So why shouldn't they include that? But they don't. I've thought about that, and it's something that's bothered me for several years. I'll be honest with you.
Thank you, Jason. You got anything else for us real quick?
Hey, no, y'all doing a great job, man.
Thanks,
you
pal.
You know, I'm all the way out here in California, so I wake up early to see your show, and, you know, I love y'all.
All right. Thanks, Jason.
Thank
appreciate
you.
Appreciate it. Bring that Giants love on the West Coast. We went to San Diego a couple years ago. A lot of Giant fans in the stands.
There were. There
tough,
were.
Tough.
That game didn't turn out so well.
All right, Paulie. Now you got to go home. Are you going to take a nap this afternoon,
I'm doing
or are you
going to
walk?
I already did one this morning.
Now, just be
my
careful.
Second five of the day.
Now tomorrow, obviously, I don't know if we're going to have any media here tomorrow or anything.
No conference calls.
Oh, it's going to be
conference calls tomorrow.
Are you going to try to do some power walking and interact with the Pope a little bit in Central Park?
He could keep up with me.
Power walking with the Pope?
Could
well,
not
he's going to
keep up with
he's going to be in his Fiat.
Yeah, he still can't keep up with me.
I got nothing else to say.
Thank
Paul
you.
Paul Dottino, John Schmelk, Gabe tonight. Coverage on the radio begins on WCBS 880 at 6:55. Obviously, NFL Network's pregame starts, what, like at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the way they do these pregame shows?
Oh,
no,
wow.
Who knows? But check that out. It's on NFL Network. It's on CBS. The radio again, WCBS. Lance, Paul, Jeff, and
We come on at 6:30, right?
Well, 6:55.
6:54
at 8:25 pregame show.
Right.
And then you can see Paul at the SAP gate.
David Deal's coming over there.
Oh, wow, I feel bad for him. An hour with you? That's a rough hour.
It's tough enough for him. He's got Wednesdays with me now.
I know. The good thing, though, is that David, and if you're here, guys, David did the Redskin-Ram game last week, and he basically has watched every snap the Redskins have taken this year. So if you want to head down to the SAP gate, I'm sure Dottino will coax some useful information out of him over the course of that 60 minutes.
And don't forget, if you have Coaches Club tickets after the game, we do the postgame from in there, too.
And the postgame show outside after the game as well. Stop by
MetLife
Central. That's where the radio pregame show is. Again, starting at 6:55, and the postgame show afterwards. If you're waiting for that train and you want to bide some time, wait time for traffic to dissipate a little in the parking lot,
head by
MetLife Central by the MetLife gate, and you can check out the Giants postgame show. If you get to the game early, come check out the radio show, and you can see this tan guy and a couple more paler people
out there doing it. Tad long here, but John, I know Lori from upstairs did want me to tell everybody tonight, but we could tell them now, a lot of traffic pattern issues because of construction around the Meadowlands.
Well, there's a ramp right now, the exit ramp at 16W to get onto the turnpike. One lane is closed,
right.
And it's going to be for the whole season. So you want to get onto the turnpike at 18W.
Exactly.
There'll be signs all
exactly.
around the parking lots. Follow directions from the security staff. They'll take you back around the Izod Center, and that's where that 18W entrance is for north and south. So if you're trying to get on the turnpike after the game, that's where you
exactly.
want to go. Because 16W is going to be a bit of a mess. I can just tell you, trying to get out of here every day at 5 o'clock, it's
Ooh.
A mess. I can only imagine what it is on game day. So follow the signs. They'll take you to 18W. Make sure you do it. You can see Paul Dottino walking home all the way to Leone on the
We are now done.
Out of the lot. All right, everybody. Have a great day. We'll see you tonight. Enjoy the game.
All right, here we go. Here we go. Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go.
Down the middle of the field, he's got through! 35, 30!